The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 443, recorded on October 19th, 2016. Welcome to the 443rd edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 276th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Jonah Falcon.
I am TJ Denzer.
And I am Scott Dirk.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry, so we're going to break our format for a moment because normally we'd be talking about various stuff, but some breaking news. Nintendo is unveiling the NX console tomorrow morning. Although it's slated to release in March of next year, which is going to be impossible, there's strong rumors coming from everywhere that it's finally going to be unveiled tomorrow morning, which is also when Red Dead Redemption 2's trailer is going to be unveiled. Spoiler for the rest of the podcast. So it's going to be a very interesting day tomorrow.
Yeah, I want to see it. I want to see what it looks like. I think everybody wants to see, at the very least, what it finally looks like. This is that's been the bit of speculation. Everybody's like, is it going to be a console? Is it going to be a phone? Is it going to be a hybrid? What is it?
Yeah, I want to see what it is too, so I can decide if I want to get an NX or Wii U, because my wife found out that I guess Mother 3 or some Earthbound game is on Wii U, and now she wants the Wii U again. So I'm going to find out if NX is worth waiting for or just go with the Wii U.
Here's the thing. Nintendo's constantly said that the NX is not going to replace the Wii U.
Yeah, and it also seems like it's got to be a third type of thing, like a mobile console that's more like a iPhone or smartphone kind of thing.
I mean, if they're going to have a Tegra chip, that sort of indicates, you know, if they are having a Tegra chip, we don't know. But although I think the Tegra chip came from technical stuff, I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's going to be released next year around the holidays, because that's what Nintendo does. They don't like to release during the summer like Microsoft does. No, they like to release it in the holiday season. You know, it's sort of like, okay, this is going to be the stocking stuffer. And it'll be interesting to see if it is capable of stuffing a stocking.
Probably will, but yeah, it'll be like in a big bulky box. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to remain kind of neutral about it and not really get my hopes up. There are other things I'm more excited about, I think.
See, the thing about it being sort of, you know, a quote-unquote phone, you know how much smartphones cost? I mean, it's going to be interesting how they're going to keep the cost down, because unless they're going to be partnering maybe they'll partner with cell phone providers so that you only have to pay $30 a month for it or something like that, you know, with whatever. Yeah. So it'll be interesting if it was a phone. If it's a handheld console, I would like to see it at $250 at the very most.
Yeah. I think whatever it's going to be, I think we can all agree, Nintendo has to freaking blow it out of the water tomorrow. This has got to be big, or it's going to be... This could be like... I wouldn't say a swan song, because I think Nintendo's going to be alright, but it could go great, or it could be devastating.
Yeah, I agree.
They could always go back to playing cards. I mean, that's what they did 100 years ago. that's our little rumor mill thing for the day. So before we start, the other big thing is that started preloading Civ 6. It's barely under 4 gigabytes, which is a nice size, actually. We're anxiously awaiting Friday midnight, or Friday morning midnight, whatever.
Yeah, it'll be Friday morning. You'll get it like at 12 a.m. So for us in the Eastern Coast area.
Yeah. And then a little plug, I'll be doing the Turncast with Scott there.
Mm-hmm. And TJ as well.
Yep, and, I'll be there as well.
And the thing is that it'll be interesting. I better marathon it so I have an idea of what to expect. Because unlike TJ, I have not been playing a preview build. And the preview build, for what I understand, is fully functional. The only difference is that it only has 10 civs instead of the 20 civs.
Yeah. And
yeah, I think you can only play Prince difficulty and only a certain size map, but it gives you a very good idea of the game.
Well, obviously, because you only had 10 civs, you could and we didn't have this multi-leader thing when we got the preview build, you could only play, at most, a large map with 10 civs. But you could play a small and medium, but obviously with the 20 civs, you're going to be able to play the giant map. Furthermore, I think I'm gonna actually have to go random on that turncast, because it would be a little unfair if I just took the one that I've been playing with this entire time.
That you've gotten practice with. That's a good point.
I'm gonna have to roll the dice, and if I get a bad one, I'm just gonna have to deal with it.
Watch, he's gonna get Russia, and he's gonna be able to start cities that are bigger than normal, like the Shoshone.
Nah, he's been playing Scythia. He knows how to use the resources.
Scythia.
Yeah. I'm gonna go for that early domination in my continent, and then just roll religious victory for the rest of this game.
Yeah, I've heard that you can get that the earliest of the of all the victory conditions.
What I've been playing is I had been playing Fallout Shelter. And while the additions are nice, they're a bit humdrum. I mean, yeah, you can have your guys go out on these missions, but the missions are pretty boring, you know? It's not like Shelter, the Steam game, in which they're complicated and there's actual exploration. No, it's just, I don't know. It isn't enough for me to stick with and really care about my vault. And, you know, the vault, building a vault was easy again. You know, I don't know. The thing is that I can't complain too much because it's a free game, and also that, I could complain if it was a free game, but it's your typical free-to-play game like Star Trek Timelines or Game of Thrones, in which basically you just do these missions and then leave it alone, then come back to it sort of thing. And that's fine. I'm actually doing a lot more Star Trek Timelines than I thought I would. I mean, I've been chasing the ghosts. They just sent me 1,000 chronotons. And for those of you who don't know, chronotons are the currency in which you play missions. You know, you want to go on this mission, you have to pay four chronotons or six chronotons or eight chronotons, etc., etc. Or if you have 3 stars in that mission, you can have them do it automatically. For 40 chronotons, it'll automatically do it 10 times, so you get the rewards 10 times from that mission, and that sort of thing. So giving me 1,000 chronotons, I don't know what happened, but they must have had a real big screw-up. Every time they screw up or whatever, they sometimes send me chronotons, like, oh, we made a mistake, sorry, here's chronotons. And I'd say thank you. They don't send me dilithium crystals, because that's the premium currency, but, you know. But, you know, it is what it is. It's a very slow-moving Star Trek game. But what I like is that it covers everything. You know, at one point they had you do a holoprogram with Bashir and Odo, and Bashir is sending you through a James Bond-like thing. You know, and it just knows Star Trek very well. So if you're gonna have something that's very slow moving, you might as well know everything about it, because all these characters, like, they have the Mirror of Universe version of Cassidy, mm-hmm. Cassidy Yates, or they have the Trials and Tribulations version of Dax, you know, that sort of thing. So it's very interesting. I mean, I have 2 Spocks. One of them is the Star Trek IV Spocks, and the other one is the original series Spock. And sometimes they go on missions together.
Nice.
So, yeah. I've been doing a lot of NBA 2K17. I still don't know if I like it or not. It's one of those games. You know, actually, that's the question of for the week here. What game have you played that, after playing it a lot, you're still not sure if you like it or not? How about you, TJ? Are there games that, after you've played them for a while, you're still not sure if you like them or not?
Yeah. The immediate one that comes to mind was Papers, Please, because it's so oppressive, but it's also, like...
educational.
It's very interesting. It's a perspective on, like, a dystopian future and doing a job in that future. It's playing dystopian job, the game, but it's very interesting in that way, and it's like... There's times where I'm like, this is making me sad. I don't know if I can keep going. and then there's times where I'm like, this is crazy, and I'm sort of just enjoying the concept. So it really just depends on what state of mind I'm in when I'm looking at it.
Well, here's a question for you. Have you played This War of Mine?
I've heard of it. I have not played it myself yet.
Okay, maybe playing Papers, Please has shied you away from it. Like, no, I don't need depressing anymore. I already played that Dragon Cancer. I don't need to play it again. How about you, Scott?
Yeah, I think I've definitely had games where I tried to get into it and just wasn't sure if I liked it, and usually I tend to stop playing games like that. A lot of Saga Frontier was something like that, where the leveling system was very odd and just kind of difficult to figure out how I'm supposed to play it, and just it's not your atypical RPG.
But did you enjoy it?
Kinda, but I mean, yeah. So it was hard to enjoy. I didn't really know if I liked the writing. It was kind of an open world game, but it was so, I guess it's like you didn't know really what to do, and you kind of want some direction, and it just. I don't know. It was a lot of things in it that made it hard to enjoy.
Saga Frontier is very much sort of my first RPG, like a sort of my first RPG style game, because every story has like a beginning and an end, but the inside of all that is just ridiculously open ended.
Yeah. I don't know. If I was gonna say first RPG, I would say something like Final Fantasy Mystic Quest. That hand holds you, and it's really easy, and even if you die, just hit retry. You know, that's more for first-time RPG.
You know, I think a game that falls under the category of I'm not sure if I like it or not that I've been also playing is Valiant Hearts. I'm still don't know if I like that game. I mean, it's an interesting story, but... I don't know. I mean, it's one of those games that turn you into, oh, you better find all the stuff or else you won't get the whole story. You better find...
Yeah. I can understand that.
So, so what have you been playing, Scott? And, you know, stuff that you find interesting that's going on right now.
let's see. I've been playing a few different things, actually. Played a little bit more of Oceanhorn. I tried to get, what was the other thing I was playing?
I don't know, you tell me.
I've been playing Civ 5 mostly this week, trying to complete an Arabia game on Prince level, and trying to finish that, and I'm trying to also get myself to finish King's Quest. Maybe that's one of those that I'm not sure if I'm totally happy with, because the second chapter is just so depressing, because you have to choose between who you're helping, and I don't like the idea of King Graham letting someone die. That just doesn't seem right, and like, no, I don't like this now. there's some games I'm trying to push myself to finish, but it's like I don't think I'm gonna make it. I'll be playing Civ 6 pretty soon for the next episode, so yeah,
for the next ever.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember the Turncast is going to be... I don't even know when they're going to publish it, actually. When does he publish it? Like, on Mondays after?
I think they're actually going to live stream it.
Okay.
And then I guess Dan will collect... when it's the Turncast period of time, Dan will collect the portions, and then... I don't know when he'll release it. It's up to him. So he'll figure it out and then make an announcement and... You'll probably tweet all of it, and people can watch it on YouTube.
Okay. TJ, what have you been playing, actually, besides Civ 6?
Well, It's been a busy week for me. I talked about I've still been playing Fractured Space. I think I talked about that last week, right?
No, I don't think so. Well, maybe you did, or we just blocked it out of our minds.
Fractured Space is a MOBA. It's a free to play MOBA from Edge Case Games, and you take a capital ship, and you play with four other players against another team in a very like sort of capture this zone type game, and I love it. It's very cool in the way it puts up like this third person space combat where all these ships are like they come in like there's three different companies and there's three different categories of ships and they're attack and defense and support, but then you also have subcategories. Like you have some attack ships that are just straight up frontline brawlers, and then there are some that are cloakers that you want to move behind enemy lines and just drop your entire payload on them when they're not expecting it. And it's very cool. I love it. It's probably one of the most fun I've had with a MOBA game in a while, and it's very new. It just came out of early access, actually, so I wouldn't say it's very new, but it is very new on the actual full release scale. It's a free-to-play game, but I would say that the progression drives me a little crazy. It's like Star Trek. It's extremely slow in the way that you collect currency, unless you just straight up buy it. But it's fun. I've had a lot of fun with it. I'm still enjoying it. I've played it. It's like any MOBA. You play essentially the same game over and over again, but you end up collecting new ships, and you end up working out new tactics, and so it feels sort of fresh and strategic every time. And then the big one, PSVR dropped this week, and I have a PS4. I got it, and I've been fiddling with it. I got Rigs. And I haven't gotten too much into that one, but I did also got 100-foot robot golf, which is a golf game, which is an action golf game with 100-foot tall anime inspired mechs, and it's ridiculous, and I'm enjoying it immensely.
Yeah. By the way, getting into little news items that might have made it but didn't. A couple of weeks ago, like 2 weeks ago, there was a Nintendo 64 emulator on the Xbox One store. You might imagine it didn't last very long on the store, but I find it hilarious that for a little while people could be playing Nintendo 64 games on their Xbox One. Another news item that didn't make the list, but I thought I'd mention, is that the developers behind Smite and Paladins, Hi-Rez Studios, have announced Smite Tactics, which is going to be, as the game indicates, a tactical strategy game, much like Final Fantasy Tactics, except it's with Smite characters. And right now, the only platform it's known to be available for will be the PC. The funny thing is that, you know, we really haven't had many of that. I mean, I think we spoke last week or the week before about Advance Wars, right? And we don't have nearly enough of those tactical strategy games, strategy RPGs. And this one is going to have multiplayer and also a single-player campaign as well, or at least AI way to play against AIs. And I get the impression it's going to be a 1v1 competitive play.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you've heard anything about that, TJ or Scott.
I have not, but I'm looking at it on the Steam store, seeing what it's like. Oh, yeah, this... Actually, you know what? Maybe I did see a trailer for this, actually.
Well, Smite is can you call it a MOBA?
Yes, you can.
Kind of looking like World of Warcraft a little.
Well, that's the thing is that Smite is a very popular free-to-play MOBA, right? And it's more of a shooter than regular MOBAs. And so is Paladins, I think. I mean, hey, TJ, whatever happened to Paladins? Because all I remember are posting videos for each of the characters that are in Paladins. Has it had any sort of real release, or is it in beta, or what?
It is out. It's moved past beta to a full release, I do believe. And I haven't had a chance to dig into it.
Because it always smacked. It always smacked me as a Me Too to Overwatch and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know why they use the word paladins. Their game doesn't look like to have anything to do with what a paladin is.
Well, a paladin doesn't necessarily mean someone in a big armor with a little cross on it. I mean, paladin is what you do, not who you are.
With paladins, I really haven't followed it much, just because MOBAs, every single MOBA out there, takes about an hour to play one game, and I already have two that I'm playing right now, and I have no time to get into another.
Yeah, that's a big problem with massively multiplayer games, is they demand so much of your time.
Smite Tactics will be using the CCG version of in which you play cards and that's how you get your units on the board. So, I mean, it's minor news, but it's very interesting. We're going to move to the first news item. Dishonored devs The Crossing, put on hold in 2009, gets a new trademark filing. And this comes from GameSpot. Before Arkane Studios made Dishonored, the team worked on a first-person shooter called The Crossing. I don't know if either of you remember this, but I remember thinking the logistics must be very interesting, because what happens is it merges single and multiplayer gameplay into what they call crossplay. Arkane put the game on hold in May of 2009 due to quote-unquote an unexpected financial challenge. That's because Bethesda didn't own them yet. ZeniMax purchased them and purchased Arkane in 2010. And now it looks like Bethesda may have plans for The Crossing, at least it wants to keep the name. ZeniMax has filed a trademark application with the United States, and the application covers video games, but it doesn't contain any details about the status of the game or Bethesda's plans. A Bethesda representative told GameSpot, "We don't comment on trademark filings. The existence of a trademark application doesn't necessarily mean much. Sometimes they just do it as placeholders so people can't steal it. I know that, for example, there was trademark filings for Spore 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Even though they knew that was never going to come out, they just did that anyway. I mean, you'll see it all the time. You'll see variations like Call of Duty Future Warfare and Call of Duty Space Warfare. Arkane's next game, as TJ excitedly knows, is going to be Dishonored 2, which comes out in November. After that, the studio's Austin, Texas branch will ship out the new Prey in 2017. Arkane is headquartered in Lyon, France. So for those of you who don't know, your crossing was going to work like this. Suppose you're playing a single player, right? And you're doing your level. All of a sudden, you're going to have people who are not part of your game, multiplayer people, attacking you or shooting at you or doing something near you. So what happens is you're part of their multiplayer game as you're going along. So it melds single player and multiplayer. Now, in 2009... I don't know if it would have been technically feasible, but in 2016, yeah, they do that all the time now. I mean, or at least in terms of drop-in, drop-out. Do you remember The Crossing, Scott, or TJ?
No, I don't.
I don't remember it at all.
Really?
Yeah.
It was a big thing back in 2009. People were intrigued by it. Because what happens is, suppose you're playing a multiplayer match, and, oh, look, there's a single-player guy. Kill him!
Yeah, I would hate that.
Well, not if you knew what you were getting into. You know, I mean, you're facing off AI and suddenly you're facing off against human-controlled opponents.
That reminds me of Brink.
Yeah, Brink. Yeah, I called it the game of the year for E3 in 2012 or 11. It looks so promising. And the PC version actually fulfilled its promises. You know, I should play Brink sometime. I mean, the AI was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, even looking at the screenshots, it kind of looks like Brink, too. Because Brink had that sort of drop-in, drop-out, too, where you could... where I think it was, like, between scenarios, players could join.
Yeah, the problem The Crossing is a little bit different, in which it's made so that you're always online, and you're always may have someone interfering with your mission, mm-hmm. or you may have to go through an intense multiplayer fight. You know, yeah. You just wander through it, and that is sort of cool. Because, you know, you can't grief in that, because the entire point is to try and grief the everybody else. But I will find it funny, if you're the single player and you happen to run through a multiplayer match, you can sort of affect the outcome of that match just by engaging at just the right time. Oh, look, I'm going to put a grenade here. Five people from blue just died. You can thank me later, Red. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, at the time, it was a pretty big deal, and it got dropped. And, you know, not a lot of people were surprised that it was going to be dropped, because it was just such a far-out concept, and everybody wondered how they would be able to pull it off.
These days, you have a lot of that going on now. I mean, look at Dark Souls. That is essentially just drop-in, drop-out, single-player, multiplayer hybrid. And it's not only extremely feasible, it's been done a few times already. Not specifically in this way, where it's a shooter, mind you.
Well, in this case, it's the levels are going to be built so that people are going to be forced to interact, or not forced, but you know they're going to interact at certain parts. You know, and the problem is that you know when a game gets old, you know, you may no longer have that, and you'll only have AI, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of places if you try to play multiplayer, it's a vast wasteland.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what that reminds me of? For some reason, it reminds me of Command & Conquer Renegade, and I really wish they would do that game again. And instead, you know, have two players who were actually playing the RTS, Command & Conquer RTS, and telling you where to go. You know, you got to do this. And if you do it, and if you accomplish it, you get points. That was great about Smite, by the way. Damn it, I forgot the name all of a sudden. The game we were talking about that you thought was like it. Oh, dear. Anyway, it would tell you, it would give you options of what to do on your mission so that you could help complete the mission. So, you know, like a lot of multiplayer games like Battlefield and all that stuff, it's a lot of people who are playing it like a solo game, just with other people who happen to be around, and they're extremely uncoordinated. Brink allowed you to contribute to your team even if you weren't actually doing the direct combat. Like, it would say, oh, do this. Like, it would say, fix the bridge here so that your team could get across. Mm-hmm. And you know, the objective you get would only be for you, so no one else was doing that objective, right? So it wouldn't be five people trying to fix the bridge. No, it'd just be you, and you'd get XP for doing that action, and it would be dynamic. Then it would say, oh, now you can do this. It'll give you four choices. Like, you can do this or this or this or this. And I wish more games would do that. You imagine in Battlefield where it says, okay, feed the supply line, you know, and do this. And that's basically what a Command & Conquer Renegade would do, is that you'd have a player who's playing it like an RTS, and he's telling you, okay, I want you to go to this location and kill people here, you know? Oh no, there's a Zerg rush. Go over here, quickly. Go ahead.
Yeah, I like, the only thing I can think of that comes close to that is sort of, is still sort of Dark Souls, just because you have people that you invite.
Everything is Dark Souls with you. The entire game. Oh, this presidential campaign reminds me of Dark Souls.
That's a funny. I made a post a long time ago where once Hillary got elected, I put some Dark Souls music to her because she was raising her arms in a very emperor-esque way. It was a little something, but yes, you're right. but no, it's just in that way that you're either always fighting to kill someone who has invaded your world in Dark Souls, or you're inviting people in to help you kill other people that are trying to kill you. So it engages you to engage with other people.
Huh. So we're going to move on to the next item. Take it away, TJ.
Alrighty. Red Dead Redemption 2 announced for Xbox One and PS4, but not PC, from Rockstar Games. Rockstar has announced in a press release, Red Dead Redemption 2 will release worldwide in fall 2017 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One systems. An epic tale of life in America's unforgiving heartland, the game's vast and atmospheric world will also provide the foundation for a brand new online multiplayer experience. Watch the Red Dead Redemption 2 trailer at 11 a.m. Eastern on Thursday, October 20th at rockstargames.com, as well as at the official Rockstar Games YouTube and Twitch pages. No PC version has been announced by the developer, and the original never had a PC release.
So, you know, they're being very cagey about when this is being set. Because if you notice, the logo just has a bunch of people in the background. So I'm wondering if they're going to do what that other Western did and suddenly set it in modern times.
Oh, are you talking about Call of Juarez?
Yeah, Call of Juarez. And I think the Call of Juarez, the modern set one, was actually pretty successful.
I hope they don't set it in modern times. I would rather do a prequel or...
Oh, you want to go into the old West.
or do a different story in the old West with a different character. That would be fine. Because I like the idea of looking like you have a gang to work with. I mean, that's the implication to me anyways. Either that or it's talking about multiplayer with the picture of a bunch of people on the horizon like that.
When I think of, like, a modern-style Rockstar game set in the Wild West, I think of Trevor's part in Grand Theft Auto V, and specifically the northern part
yeah.
of that, where you have mostly trailer parks and desert, and maybe you could make that work spread out into an entire world, but also I'm not sure that I would be as interested in something like that.
But here's the thing. Red Dead Redemption did have a good multiplayer mode to begin with, so it's not a stretch for them to have. The only thing I would think of is if they have it sort of like an MMO-ish sort of thing in which you could have people, several people, not thousands of people like a real MMO, but several people on the map and exploring the map separately. They could be miles away from each other, that sort of thing.
One of the things I loved about the Red Dead Redemption game was just how, like, you just isolated it felt, you know? You're out there on your own, wandering the trails, and suddenly a freaking bobcat could come up and, you know, slice your throat.
Oh, forget the bobcat, the cougar! And if you're talking about...
The bear, or the freaking boar, I mean, there were so many deadly animals out there.
And then if you're playing...
Gun you down.
And then if you're playing Undead Nightmare, you get killed by a zombie cougar.
Oh my god, I loved it. It was like, you were always tense. Because I swear, it's like in GTA 5, so long as you didn't really mess with anyone, you could actually walk around all day long and be fine. You could walk up next to gang members, and they wouldn't bother you unless you bothered them. And, you know, so it felt a lot more tense. Because I was like, oh, I just want to go for a ride out in the country. And then suddenly I'm killed because I let my car down.
You ever kill a jet? Go ahead.
My only fear about this brand new online multiplayer experience is I really enjoyed that the single player and multiplayer were isolated from each other in Red Dead Redemption, and so it was almost like you had two different games to play.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be like Grand Theft Online, except with Red Dead Redemption, basically.
Right. What I don't want it to be is The Division.
Did you play the multiplayer Red Dead Redemption?
It was okay.
I tried it, and like 5 seconds into it, I got sniped. Then I respawned. I got sniped again. I respawned, got sniped again, and then I said, screw this, I'm not playing it. Because some a-hole was camping the spawn place and shooting people because he has nothing better to do, I guess.
Me and my boys had a posse. And so if that happened, we would hunt his ass down and kill him. and that is actually a lot of what the multiplayer experience in Red Dead, like the open world one, there was matches as well. Like
what are you talking about, Red Dead Rust there?
Yeah.
By the way, I can immediately tell if you're an asshole or not if you play Rust. If you play Rust, you're an asshole. I already know that about you.
But yeah, that was a lot of the Red Dead Redemption world, was like whoever had the most friends and were running across the plains with the most boys, You want to avoid those people because they will they might not, but they probably will kill you.
I wonder if there's ever going to be a Red Dead Revolver 2. Because remember, Red Dead Redemption is a sequel to Red Dead Revolver, but Red Dead Revolver was a shooter, not an open world game.
I think it, like I said before, I think it would be interesting to have a gang of characters to have, you know, like you have a party, because the first game you're pretty much by yourself. So it would be nice to have a new game where you have a gang and people you work with and characters and maybe just go out together hunting. You have a posse. That would be awesome. Maybe a co-op posse, you know, not necessarily multiplayer online, but like your friends could join you for a game where you go out and do missions together, you know, that would be fun.
Go on. TJ, you can wrap this up.
Poor PC players. That sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I could just imagine on Game Watcher where if there's an article, I haven't checked it, if there's an article that says Red Dead Redemption 2 announced, but not PC, there's a lot of head desking going on because when I was still writing for Game Watcher, you know, there was a lot of news that, you know, Red Dead Redemption may come to PC, and it's like people were getting excited. You know, yes, please. That's the number one game they wanted for PC was Red Dead Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And now Red Dead Redemption 2 is sort of like Rockstar sticking a middle finger at these people.
Well, we got GTA 5 on the PC, and actually we have GTA 4 and 3 as well.
Well, that's why people are puzzling over why not Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
You know, that's the main problem. And I'm going to tell you something. If they release Red Dead Redemption 2 but have Red Dead Redemption remastered for PC, they'll go apeshit anyway. They'll love it. You know, they say, we don't need Red Dead Redemption. We got remastered. We can play with this for a long while, and you know, give them hope that Red Dead Redemption 2 will come out at some point.
Yeah, because you can't play Red Dead Redemption on your PS4.
You can't. I was about to say, I don't know what Sony's doing. Just so you know,
I don't know either.
This thing with the mods for, and this is something we discussed last week or the week before, the thing with mods for The Elder Scrolls, Skyrim, and Fallout 4 are just, what is Sony afraid of? I mean, okay, I can understand them taking down levels when people make Super Mario levels with, I forgot that stupid game, and it was the biggest thing on PS3.
Mario Maker?
No.
Oh, no, it's the PS3, sorry.
No. You know, the one that ripped off 9. The one with the Stitch Punk game.
Little Big Planet?
Yeah, Little Big Planet. So they took down the levels of Little Big Planet that emulated the Super Mario levels, right? So Sony took them down.
No, they didn't.
Oh, yes, they did.
I've seen a bunch of Mario levels.
I know, they don't care anymore then, because in the first one and the second one, they took that down quickly. They used the Super Mario graphics and all that stuff, and they just took them down. And if they're leaving them up now, then, you know, I guess Sony doesn't care because the game's old and no one plays it anymore, right?
Whatever. People play it. They still play it.
Okay, I'm just saying maybe they don't care anymore, but they were...
You don't play it, but other people play it.
Okay, but I'm just saying, in the beginning, Sony took those levels down.
Okay, because I mean, the last time I played, I've seen Mario levels. I've seen where they created characters that look like Goombas, and you jump on them, and they go poof and all that stuff. So people made Mario levels and Minecraft levels and...
But we're getting off the topic here.
We're
getting off the topic, though. So the thing, I don't understand why Sony's not allowing people to bring in content that's outside, because that's the entire thing. Here, the only thing you can do is maybe, you know, change the stats. Like, okay, so I'm going to change, what's it called? This will allow you to see where all the things are, or whatever, you know. But you won't be able to bring in new content. Like, you won't be able to do the Randy the Macho Man Savage Deathclaws, or...
Mm-hmm.
You won't be able to even do the gun that shoots out Bichon Frises or Chihuahuas or whatever dogs or cats you want to shoot out of a gun. You can only use in-game assets. And I don't understand what Sony's problem is with using outside assets. I mean, is it that they don't want to have pay someone to make sure there isn't a penis gun?
A penis gun. Go play Saints Row if you need one that bad.
Well, they do have that dildo you can hit people, and that's in the game. But I don't know.
I would say that is a big part of it. If you're going to allow that, then you have to have some form of curation. Otherwise, you end up like Steam.
But Microsoft is curating it. See, that's the thing that puzzles me. Microsoft isn't going to allow that stuff to go in. Bethesda's vetting the content that can go in. You know, it's not like the content's on PC and immediately can be on Xbox One. No, you still have that process. So I just don't get it.
You'd have to pay someone to curate it.
I guess. I mean, who cares if you have a boobs mod on the, you know, it's just, I don't know how we got here. It's just puzzling to me, that's all. It's just puzzling to me.
There's always a nude mod, I swear.
Hey, yeah. I like the nude mods for Unreal Tournament 2003, Unreal Tournament 1999 and 2003. It was just funny seeing a naked chick running around with a bio gun killing people. It was just funny. And also, I actually prefer having a nude mod for The Sims, because I really don't like having mannequins. I mean, if they're going to be real, be real. And I don't mind if they blur it out. I just, you know, it's just more real to me.
It's mostly just turning off the blur and putting on a realistic skin texture.
I know. If you turn off the blur, they're mannequins, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I keep the blur on, but, you know, have them real underneath.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. This is an item that you suggested, Scott.
Alrighty then. Voice actors threatened strike against EA, Activision, and 9 other companies. This from Games Radar. Last fall, members of the Screen Actors Guild, American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, SAG-AFTRA, union publicly considered going on strike in an effort to secure better protection and pay for physically demanding work. This year, the group is threatening to strike. Those targets are a bit more specific, EA, Activision, and 9 other industry employers. On the organization's website, a post claims that the union heads will be meeting this week to negotiate contracts rooted in industry standards and best practices, and that unless you hear differently from us, effective October 21st at 12:00 a.m., you should be prepared to strike video game employers with regard to all games that went into production after February 17, 2015. The companies include, among others, Activision, Disney, Electronic Arts, Insomniac Games, Take-Two Interactive, and WB Games. Actors like Tara Strong, Steve Bloom, and Jennifer Hale have expressed their solidarity with the union under the hashtag Performance Matters on Twitter. Yeah, and this is going to be pretty heavy effect, I think, if they boycott these big companies and see how many actors follow along with it. I mean, usually with SAG, it's probably a lot of them.
Well, so, here's the thing. I am SAG-AFTRA. So, and for those of you who don't know, I am working on Gotham tomorrow.
Yes. If they strike that, would you be...
I have to. I'm not going to break the strike because I could lose my SAG membership and I'll never work again. Or I could work, but I'd be non-union and get... Oh, actually, I could work in Troma, because Troma doesn't use union actors. Which would be cool in and to itself, doing Troma. I mean, there's actors who go under different names just to be in a Troma film, like Corey Feldman, you know? Because why not be in a Troma film? Be in one of the Toxic Avenger movies. Anyway, but here's the thing. If you ever listen to any of the games from an early... Like House of the Dead, not the movie, the game... you know, the light gun game. If you listen to the voice acting in that, which are done by the developers, oh my god, G is dead. And I'm telling you right now, I still acted better than the voice actor who did that.
Well, there was some bad acting in the original King's Quest games as well, like King's Quest V. You know, it sounded like they just got the guy down in the county to come in and do some voice, you know, real quick for a character.
And you could really you could really tell the difference, because when you had something like Wing Commander, which had Mark Hamill and James Earl Jones doing acting, they were acting. Now, granted, there's a lot of people who badmouth Peter Dinklage's performance in Destiny, which was, and when they replaced him with what, was it Nolan North that they replaced him with? I think it was Nolan North. You know, they redid all his lines with Nolan North, and, you know, the difference was plain. But I'm just saying, a lot of games are using real voice actors, SAG-AFTRA, and at some point, they're going to have to acknowledge the difference between non-union and union, you know. And when you're doing SAG-AFTRA, you have to go by certain rules. You cannot, for instance, force people to if you work overtime, they better get paid. But not only that, but they also have to get meals. Under strenuous conditions, you're supposed to give them bonuses. You know, you have overtime and golden time. And I've been in golden time. That's 2 times pay after getting 1.5 times pay. And I'm going to tell you, it's really nice to get that fat check for getting golden time. And at some point, I would like to do voice acting for video games. Unfortunately, if this happens, you know, I won't be able to. Yeah.
That might delay some games that are in production right now, too.
It's possible, but the thing about this is that I don't know if the video game industry really holds union actors in all that high regard in the end. I think it's for them, it's like the only union actors I think they use are famous actors. I don't know if you're going to have B-level actors who are union who are going to do video games. Names you don't know, you know, like John Smith. He does an incredible impression, but oh, he's union. We don't want to pay him scale. If we're going to pay union, it better be for Gary Oldman.
I see what you're saying.
So, you know, if this happens, it could mean that you'll have a lot more actors, more breadth of talent, rather than just John DiMaggio doing Marcus Fenix again, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. TJ, what do you think?
I mean, it's not going to ruin video games. It's definitely not, but I can see where it could have an effect on certain ones, especially the big ones. When you look at the big ones that usually always have a pretty big host of actors in them. I mean, like Fallout, most of the Fallout games have a huge cast of good actors in them, and
not all of them, you know, too. I mean, some of them are people you've never heard of.
Yeah, like when you've got a game like Fallout or Skyrim or even the Mass Effect games, you have like more than 200 characters that need a voice, and sure they double up on some of them, but you got to have someone to fill those roles and give them a unique personality.
Well, like one game, for example, that I can think of now is Civilization VI is coming out, and eventually probably have an expansion pack, and if they add anything like any new text or wonders or whatever, and they want to get like maybe Sean Bean in to do just a couple of voice spots to cover these, and if this strike is in effect, would that then mean that they have to go get like Sid again?
You know, that reminds me, Master Ryan using Sean Bean and Michael Dorn and everybody else in that game. You know, it sort of makes me want to play Civ 4 again just to have Leonard Nimoy doing the narration.
I do miss that, yes.
You know what, just redo Civ 6 and just use the voice files from Civ 4 with Leonard Nimoy describing all the... Yeah, hey, why not? You know, the text. I mean, he was great.
He was. That was a good voice. They could probably mod that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Grand Theft Auto V's exploding Note 7 mod video yanked from YouTube by Samsung. A mod that weaponizes a mobile phone in Grand Theft Auto V, parodying the well-known problems with Samsung's Galaxy Note 7, has seen a YouTube video of its shenanigans taken down by a copyright demand attributed to the device maker. If Samsung was really behind the takedown, it seems to have created more publicity rather than less for the parody, which remains on the mod site and has several other videos elsewhere on YouTube, including... Well, I'm not going to continue because we can't see it here. The mod was uploaded on October 1st and has been downloaded about 6,700 times since then. It replaces the sticky bomb with an item that resembles the phone. There are instructions for changing the device's wallpaper and cover, but that's really all it does. It has been a week of brutal news for Samsung, which stopped production on its high-end phone altogether after recall and battery replacement initiated in September failed to fix the problem. The device is considered such a hazard it has been banned from all U.S. flights since Saturday, even if it's turned off.
Yeah, I could see why they wanted that pulled. They don't want their phone to be associated like it's a weapon, because it's already a failed thing that's going to cost them lots of money to fix.
Yeah, you know, it sounds more like one of those automated bot things, like the thing which when Sony had this bot throw strikes against everything with pixels in the name, even unrelated stuff, and the original video on which Pixels was based. And I'm wondering if this is the same thing, because I can't imagine Samsung would be so stupid as to throw a copyright strike on a cell phone video, in a video. Because here's the thing. The worst thing you can do to taunting is to respond to that taunting, because it only makes it worse on the internet. You're just going to encourage more of it. And like I said, you just made the mod more popular.
Yeah, by forbidding it.
And now I'm glad I didn't upgrade to a Samsung Galaxy S7 Note, because imagine if I had to fly and they tell me, nope, you can't bring it on, but I'll turn it off. Nope, even if it's off, you can't bring it on. Because I might
Samsung kiosk where you could turn those phones in now, apparently.
But can you, is it, that would do me no good if it's my cell phone and I'm going abroad and I have to be able to talk to people on a phone.
Maybe you can get it exchanged for a Note 6 or something. I don't know.
I have a Galaxy S5, so I'm gonna wait until they have a version that people aren't worried that the battery's gonna explode.
Mm-hmm. That is really poor. How do they not find that in quality control? Wow.
See, if that ever happened to my Galaxy S5, you know, I could just say, okay, I'm gonna remove the battery. Because on my S5, I can remove the battery. And then I could put, you know, I don't know. It doesn't sound like you could put it in your luggage either. As a matter of fact, I think they'd be worried if you put it in baggage, because then it'll explode in the baggage compartment on the plane where no one can see it. Oh no, the baggage compartment of the plane is on fire.
As serious defects. I mean, it's like, that's what I don't like about enclosed technology like that, where you're saying you can't open it and take out the battery and get it replaced or whatever. You like you can with your Samsung 5. It, you know, you have this enclosed thing and it just makes it a lot harder to do stuff like that, like repair it and fix it, and you know, it just really seems to be a serious issue.
That's less of a problem to me, because the reason why I didn't get an S6 is because you couldn't put in your own mini SD chip, and that was the deal breaker for me. You know, at least the S7 you can put in your own SD chip. So, what were you going to say there, TJ?
Oh, I was thinking about this when I got the PSVR on Monday, and there was a fresh story about one of the Samsung S7 Note stories that just come out, and I was thinking to myself, does Samsung make a VR, like sort of like Google Cardboard? Because that would be the worst idea possible, right?
No, that was Android. Yeah, that was Google did the cardboard for all Android devices. So yeah, if you're using it, watch out, people, with your cardboard VR there. You might find your eyebrows singed or something.
Yeah, there's already a meme of Two-Face holding up the S7 phone and saying, like, this is what...
Well, it's not the S7, it's the S7 Note, just so you know. The S7 apparently is fine.
Yeah. Okay. I've seen that, though. It's great. It's a Two-Face. I would like a refund, please.
Yeah.
And it's straight up the Dark Knight Two-Face, just straight up with a half-face scarred burn. It's horrible and hilarious at the same time.
Oh, shoot, you know, I just remembered, you know what also should be released? It may have been released today, and they reminded me, episode 3 of Batman Telltale. I'll have to check that out, see if it's available to play. Thanks for reminding me, because in my playthrough, I had Harvey Dent burned by the light, so half his face was burned away.
Well, that was my intention all along. You're welcome.
So yeah, I mean, I could have told you about what episode chapter 3 was going to be. So that reminds me, hey Scott, are you hoping they'll announce new chapters for Minecraft story mode?
That would be nice, yes, but I think they're done with it. But I would enjoy more, because they did good writing. I was entertained, and But I think they gave an ending, you know, for it, so I don't expect any more.
I'm willing to bet you there's going to be a season two at some point.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. I hope so. That'd be nice.
Yeah. So anyways, look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy your feedback, and make sure you don't have any Galaxy Note S7s nearby, or else it's going to blow up half your face, apparently. Subscribe to us on iTunes and leave some iTunes comments. And if you want to mention, hey, you know what, you'll get bonus points if you mention the Galaxy S7 Note. Like I said, I didn't even know this was going on, and I kept on thinking about maybe getting a Galaxy S7 or even a Note, but I'm not so sure now. I think I may just wait for the S8 and see if they have a removable battery now. You know, actually, that might be great. This might have been a great thing in hindsight, because now they'll think, oh, God, what if our batteries are bad? Well, you know, if we have the S8, we can have removable batteries. And just make sure, you know, that, and maybe I should write a note to Samsung about it, you know. You know, it'd be even better. Picture this, if they had third-party batteries.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
No, you see, Samsung would get a cut, and you'd have people competing over making a better battery. So, I don't know.
I'd actually... Would you? I've got a question that I'd like to ask. If we
go ahead,
get some listener feedback.
I mean, there was a question, but you can add another question.
We were talking about Paladins earlier, and I was talking about how I just haven't played it because I don't have the time for it. Is there a game out there that's good that you know of and you have availability to get, but you haven't just because you don't have the time to do it?
Okay, opening up my Steam library right now, because here's the thing: anybody who's ever done Humble Bundle will have this problem.
Yeah, that's true. I got a bunch of games on here that I haven't played the Bioshock at all, but I have it on my list. What else haven't I played? There's a lot of all the Sherlock Holmes games I need to be playing. I haven't finished DuckTales. I haven't.
You haven't played DuckTales?
I played it a little, but I haven't gotten back to it.
You know, I haven't played the Binding of
game and Castle of Illusion. It's going to take me a little while to get through.
You know, I haven't played the Binding of Isaac, even though everybody tells me it's amazing. And I got the deal in which you got.
I have no desire to play that game. That's
really
no, thank you.
I also have the Bureau XCOM Declassified that I haven't played. I have SCD's XL Platinum. So yeah,
I have some games that, like you said, I got them in a Humble Bundle, but I didn't really want all of the games, I just wanted certain games, so I have Left 4 Dead, but I have no desire to play it.
Yeah.
The first Left 4 Dead? I haven't played, you know, it's funny, I played the first Left 4 Dead a ton, but I only played 9 hours of Left 4 Dead 2. I never really, I don't know.
I mean, it's basically the same game with some new characters and new zombies.
I know, but you also have the sacrifice in which What's-His-Face kills, allows himself to die. And he was my favorite character too, damn it. The crusty old Vietnam vet.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't completed South Park: The Stick of Truth, by the way. That's a game I started and haven't been able to complete.
That one was enjoyable. A lot of fun.
Are you going to finish that before The Fractured Butthole comes out?
I may not buy The Fractured Butthole until I finish Stick of Truth. See, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. But like I said, I really want to... the game that I hear... well, not great things, but good things about was the Bureau, the XCOM shooter, you know, it was the Bureau XCOM Declassified, and I haven't played that yet, and I'd like to. Oh, and Dead Island, I only played it an hour of, and I was just sitting there, you know.
That is not a fun game to play by yourself.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's novel for a while, but it'll get boring.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm not playing deliberately? And that's the Stanley Parable. Because they have that one achievement which says, don't play this game for 5 years.
Oh my gosh.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it says, don't play this game. I think the achievement is called Go Outside or something like that. Let me see the achievements, because I know one of them is... they don't. It has. It's impossible to get, but someone got it. Here it is. Don't go outside. Don't play the Stanley Parable for 5 years. So I'm halfway through that. It was 2013. Now it's 2016. I just have to wait another 2 years to play it.
Oh, my God. That is funny.
Yeah, there's another one in which you're supposed to play an entire Tuesday.
Wow, I don't... Well, actually, all you have to do is leave it on. You don't even have to play. Just leave it on.
I think it has... It's sort of like Desert Bus, and it's not going to let you do that. But here's... You still have to have it on your computer on for an entire Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
My favorite achievement is called Achievement, and it says, this is an achievement.
Yay!
And it doesn't tell you what you have to do to get it. And there's another one called Unachievable, which I just told you about. It says, it's impossible to get this achievement. And apparently they did it by hacking the game. So that's what you have to do. One of the funny things is the game is so meta that it brings up the fact, you know, you're in this unwinnable situation. One of the ways you can win is just simply turn the game off.
Hmm.
Have either of you played the Stanley Parable?
No, I have not.
Oh, you should play it. It's a great little meta game about gaming, and it is. There's a lot of secrets in it that a lot of people haven't found yet. Like one of them, you know, one you start arguing with the narrator, starts calling you out. There's a one in which you decide to deliberately fail because you don't want to do it. During the game. One of the things that's funny is that it tells you what you've been doing, and then you can deliberately do all the wrong things, and the narrator will get pissed at you and start saying, oh, you just want to be contrary, don't you? Also, there's a code. There's a secret code that you have to enter, and if you can enter before you learn the code, and the game will call you out on that as well. There's just so many... there's one in which the narrator starts questioning his own existence. It's a great game. You have to play it. The music is also awesome. It's one of those independent film, quirky little dun, 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 you know, that sort of thing. It's a great game. Try it. I guarantee you won't be disappointed, as short as it is. Because basically, the main game takes like 10 minutes to finish. But it's all the exploring that you can do outside of the narrative that really, you know... There's one achievement that says click on a door for click on 435 times, click on a door, and you may think that's all you have to do, but no. Then it says, oh well, okay. So why don't you turn on the Xerox machine over there 5 times? And it starts having you do like 20 minutes worth of shit just to get this one achievement. It's sort of like testing you. How much are you gonna listen to me just to get this Steam achievement?
Jeez.
I will say this. I didn't play Stanley Parable, but I did play another one by director...
Oh, yeah, the sequel? The sequel in which... Yeah.
Dr. Lanksakov, the Tiger, and the Terribly Cursed Emerald.
Oh, that's not the one I was thinking of.
it's something different. It's done by William Pugh, but it's also sort of... It's that same sort of meta thing where, like, you're playing the game, but you're not in the game. You're actually in the background. You're actually in, like, the... You basically play the role of someone just handling the background and the backstage setups of the game, like turning things on, like storm now, release the tiger now, and it's just like it's this weird meta thing where all the people that would be doing this have gone on strike, and you're the only one there to do this stuff.
Oh, that's cool. I have to check that out. Daddy Raiden, who did the Stanley Parable, his sequel was The Beginner's Guide. And all it was basically going and hacking into someone's computer and learning the story that way. And the thing is that I was not surprised to learn later that Danny Redden was suicidal, and he developed games as a way of therapy. As a matter of fact, Edward McMullen, who did the Binding of Isaac stuff, same thing. He was also suicidal, or at least severely depressed, and he used gaming as a way to, as his own little self-therapy, you know. The Beginner's Guide is kind of depressing when you play it, which, you know, sort of indicates certain things. There's another game that's like that. I forgot the name of it, but it won a crap ton of awards, and it was that game in which you interview this woman. I'm pretty sure you know it.
I think I've heard of it. Her story.
Her story, yeah. I haven't played it yet. But from what I understand, the more you play it, the more you uncover about what's going on. And that's basically what the Stanley Parable and the Beginner's Guide are basically are. It's... something simple, but you learn more the more you play it. Like I said, try the Stanley Parable. You'll chuckle, especially if you're a video game expert, or what's called been playing video games for a long time. You'll chuckle even more because it's just, it's meta in the best way possible. Sometimes it can be really annoying. What's the name of that that slow motion game? The gameplay itself is fine, in which you're playing, the game doesn't move unless you do. Super Hot.
That was
Super Hot. Yeah. The game itself is fine, but the meta part of it is just dull. It's like, oh yeah, so not everything is happening. How, you know, it's sort of predictable. You know, the Stanley Parable is not predictable. I'll give it that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it is a meditation, and you know, like I said, David Redden is really good at writing. At some point, he should write a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's real art, according to Roger Ebert. Remember, video games are not art. Anyways, we will see you next weekend. We will have the full Civ 6 report. Also, like I said, go to the Turncast. Oh, geez. Scott, what's the URL for that, anyway?
Let's see. I think people will want to go to... I think for the Twitch thing, it's going to be on Twitch, and I got
to
find our...
Well, there has to be a channel.
Yeah, I think it's twitch.com/polycraft.
Polycraft. Okay, so everybody check us out. It's going to be an all-day thing, too, because apparently Daniel said that people are going to be swapping in and out all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. We'll have some Europeans on first, I believe, because they'll probably be earlier time zone, and yeah. Then later on more people will join, and then we'll it'll be all day hopefully, and there'll be a game running at least of various people.
Yeah, so check us out this coming weekend. I'm going to try and get this podcast released tonight or tomorrow night so that we can so that you guys have enough lead time. to watch it, so it's not like you do on Sunday and say, oh crap, I missed it. Also, next week we should have a full reveal of just what the friggin' frack the NX is, and what it's going to be called. I seriously doubt it's going to be called the NX. Remember when the Wii was called the Revolution, and everybody preferred the name the Revolution to the Wii?
I would have preferred the Revolution. That would have been a cool name. And then they went, Wii, and now it's a gimmick. So, okay.
And, you know, it's also easily turned into a nickname, too. You just call it the Rev. I'm going to go on my Rev.
Missed opportunity, I guess.
Yeah. Anyways, this is... I screwed that up. Anyway, I am at Jonah Falcon.
I am at Johnny Chugs.
I am at Alpha Shard.
And we will see you next week with all the juicy stuff that's going to be talked about next week.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Take care.